First up, a story about a trial that changed clinical trials. In the 1990s, a new treatment was getting a lot of hype as a cure-all for devastating diseases: human gene therapy.
It was the next big thing.
Art Kaplan was the new medical ethicist at the University of Pennsylvania, one of the main research hubs for this approach. Kaplan met a young researcher named James Wilson, who ran Penn's Institute for Human Gene Therapy.
I went to some talks. It turned out he was trying to find ways to repair gene defects, broken genes in people that were leading to terrible diseases. He thought if he could engineer a virus to carry, let's say, specially designed DNA to fix what was wrong in the human DNA, say for cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, maybe you could actually repair the cells in people who had these diseases and restore them to health.
Kaplan says James Wilson and his research team honed in on OTC. That's a rare metabolic disorder, and it affects the body's ability to get rid of ammonia. It can be deadly, especially for babies. After conducting animal studies, the team decided to test the gene therapy in adults with a mild form of OTC.
That's how they got to Jesse Gelsinger, one of the most famous names in all of clinical trials today.
Jesse Gelsinger was 18 years old and volunteered to be part of the study. Now, this trial was not going to cure the disease in him. It was merely meant to save babies with OTC, to allow them to survive long enough to get on a special diet.
This was a clinical trial that ended in disaster. Jesse Gelsinger died.
Huge backlash followed.
Some things came out. Jim Wilson had, and University of Pennsylvania, had an economic interest in a company that was commercializing the production of these gene therapy viruses. Was that right? Should anybody own what they're studying? Conflict of interest became a big issue in clinical trials as a result of the death of Jesse Gelsinger. There were signals in the trials with animals that maybe there were problems with the virus. Wilson and his group had thought they'd adjusted. But others said, boy, you should have not gone so fast. Was there too much ambition, too much pressure, too much optimism because people got caught up in the hype of gene therapy? Did they get to human trials too fast? Even today, when somebody says, let's try out a new treatment and we want to get into human trials, I hear all the time the echo of the death of Jesse Gelsinger because people say, we can only go, say, 3 subjects at a time, and we want to stop and see what's going on.
What changed in terms of informed consent?
So another issue that came up was, did Jesse Gelsinger and others who were in the study, did they really understand the risks? Did they know they could die? And a lot of people said the informed consent wasn't good enough. It hadn't mentioned the animal signals that there might be problems with gene therapy. Did it really lay out clearly the risks? And I think people redoubled their efforts to make sure clearly on the first trials in humans that it says about as loudly as you can, no benefit expected. This is a safety study.
Many things have changed since this trial. Are we better off?
We've done better on conflict of interest. Researchers know they should not own stock or equity or stand to profit directly from what they study. The disclosures that people get on informed consent, I'm not sure how effective they are because most people are going to say, doc, if you think this is the right thing for me, then I don't care if you own the company or you made it in your garage or you're going to make $1 million. They trust that their doctor is going to make that recommendation. I'm not sure they read that consent form. One other interesting lesson, I think, is that clinical trials have gotten harder to do because there's a lot more regulation, a lot more paperwork, a lot more oversight. And I do worry that it's raised the cost of doing clinical trials because you have to, lawyers have to look at it and ethicists are running around and committees are looking at the consent forms. While I'm not against all of that, we have to come up with ways to streamline it and make it more efficient.
I was going to ask you, can we weigh the people we save by doing things right against the people we are losing because we're not finding things and we're not curing cancer and doing all those great things?
So from my point of view, what we wind up seeing in clinical trials is a pendulum. People yell to go faster. my daughter has a brain tumor that there's no answer to, let's get a clinical trial. If it worked in a mouse, then put it in her, and she doesn't have a lot of time to wait, and let's go. And then someone dies. And there is a rush to say, how could that happen? And how could we accept the idea that there's risk, and not only risk, but death? So I would say, I think we're too risk averse. I think we're kidding ourselves that we can regulate and have enough oversight to take all risk out of research. I do worry that some people aren't getting benefited as fast as they might because the paperwork is slow, or some people say, I'm not going into clinical trial work. It's too bureaucratic. I don't need to be second-guessed all day. That bothers me, and I worry that we're slowed down because of that in terms of making progress.
That's medical ethicist Art Kaplan, who was at the University of Pennsylvania when Jesse Gelsinger died in 1999. Jesse's father sued the university. Art Kaplan was first named in the lawsuit, but later dropped from it. And for gene therapy, the trials weren't over yet. In another nightmare scenario, children receiving gene therapy in France developed leukemia as a terrible side effect of the treatment. But in 2008, the field scored a major victory at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where scientists treated a boy who had a genetic disease causing blindness. Science writer Ricky Lewis describes this in her new book, The Forever Fix, Gene Therapy and the Boy Who Saved It.
8-year-old Corey Haas, 4 days after his gene therapy, he and his parents went to visit the Philadelphia Zoo. And at that time, there's this huge hot air balloon over the zoo. It has a big tiger painted on it. And when Corey and his parents walked up to the zoo entrance, Corey heard the other kids screaming about the balloon, so he instinctively looked up and he screamed because it was the first time that he'd ever seen the sun. And it was only 4 days after the gene therapy. And when I heard that, it gave me the chills because Jesse Gelsinger had been treated in the same city, also in September, 9 years earlier. And 4 days after his gene therapy, he passed away. So it was a tremendous renaissance for the field.
The European Union recently approved a gene therapy drug for sale. It treats a rare metabolic disease, and that's a huge milestone for this field. Ricky Lewis says gene therapy's time has finally come.